May I speak in the name of the one who came to live among us. Amen. Those of you who attended the early service on Christmas Eve heard me say that one benefit of going to seminary in New York City is that there were so many different churches we could visit. In one of my classes, liturgics, we studied the how and why of liturgy, why we do what we do when we worship. There was one assignment in that class that I often share, I think because I'm still learning from it. The assignment was to visit two different houses of worship in the city. We were not asked to go there when a service was happening. We weren't going to worship. It would be better if the building was empty or nearly empty so that we would not disturb people as we explored, walked around the buildings. Our job was to let the buildings speak to us. What did they say about the people who worshiped there, about what they believed? So, for example, where was the font placed? Was it front and center or tucked away in a corner? What did that say about the importance of baptism to that congregation? We were not limited to just visiting Episcopal churches, so some of the houses of worship had, for example, the pulpit in the center, front and center, instead of the altar. And again, that tells us something about what is central to the congregation's worship. I could go on and on, but I'm sure you get the picture. The look of an empty building can tell you a lot about the people who worship there. When we were given the assignment, a couple of my friends and I got on the subway and went to visit St. Thomas's Fifth Avenue. St. Thomas is a well-known Episcopal church, perhaps best known for its wonderful men and boys choir. It is a beautiful space with so much to look at that I could not take it all in. I will not try to describe all of it to you. I'll just mention one thing. It is the Reredos, a stunning work of art on the wall behind the altar. At St. Thomas, the Reredos is one of the largest altarpieces in the world. It's 80 feet tall and 43 feet wide. It's made of stone in which are carved niches with depictions of saints, prophets, reformers, and others important to the faith. There are more than 60 of these stone figures. Even if Gothic is not your style, the Reredos itself is breathtaking. After our time at St. Thomas's, my friend and I got on a bus to go to St. Peter's Lutheran Church, which is located on Lexington Avenue in the shopping district. Compared to St. Thomas's, which was completed in 1914, St. Peter's could perhaps be considered a modern building, completed in 1977. The church is located at the base of a city office skyscraper, the City Corps Center. And when I say all this, it was 20 years ago. I guess this is all still the same or similar. Also there at the base of the office building is a sunken plaza, a shopping concourse, and an entrance to the Lexington Avenue subway. The architects who designed St. Peter's made it known that they were deliberately not designing something that looked like a church. They described what they designed as a sculpture rising out of the bedrock of Manhattan. Inside the church, the walls were all bare. All furnishings are movable or modular so that they can be placed in a variety of configurations. In its own way, St. Peter's is just as stunning as St. Thomas, both inside and outside. What moved me most about St. Peter's, and it's a Lutheran church, is that when I stood there in the center aisle and looked toward the altar, out of the corner of my eye, or if I turned my head to the left, I could see, this was in winter, I could see booted feet and legs walking down the steps to the subway or to the shopping. It was almost as though the barrier between the folks on the outside and the congregation had disappeared. They had all become one. I will not forget how intimately connected I felt to everyone and everything around me. The purpose of the assignment was not to say that one architectural type was superior to another. It was to encourage us to be open to what spaces have to say about God. At St. Thomas's, I was reminded of the transcendence of God, which is to say that God is beyond and outside of our full experience, our perception, our grasp. God is more powerful than anything that we can imagine. St. Peter's reminded me of the imminence of God, that God is right here with us as we go about our days, heading down the stairs to the subway, or whatever else we might be doing. Taken together, the two buildings remind me that God is beyond us and at the same time next to us, even within us. Both churches were lovely to look at. They were very different, but in both places I clearly felt the presence of the Holy One. I get that same sense of seeing God from different perspectives when I contrast today's gospel reading with Luke's story of the birth of Jesus that we heard at our Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services. I will read this again from the prologue to John, in part just because I love the words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being with him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And here's how Luke says it. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Two perspectives on one God, the one whose birth we continue to celebrate this Christmas season. Taken together, the two perspectives broaden our understanding of the gift that we received at the Incarnation. Can you believe that the same God who hung the moon and the stars chose not to remain far away, but came down from heaven to be born in a stable of a lowly virgin? Can you believe that when he came to us and was rejected by his own, he did not give up on us, but loves us still? If you can believe it, if you can take it in, then you must know that true love, love beyond all telling, is what came down to us at Christmas. May your trust in that love take root and grow within you in the days and years ahead. May your trust in that unshakable love guide your actions now and always. In Jesus, God comes again and again to live within us and to walk beside us in good times, in bad times, and everything in between. He comes because he loves us. Open your hearts, my friends, and let him in. Amen.